We are celebrating for the first time in the history of this ministry, Purim. Now, we're not celebrating it like the Jews will celebrate it with all kinds of funny stuff, carnival style. We want to today, as we did yesterday, appreciate what God did for the people of Israel, the Jews, during the time of Purim. And as we appreciate it, we want to receive principles from the Word of God that will help us as God's people to continue to flourish and blossom and be everything that God says we can be. Amen? Yesterday we established that God is working behind the scenes on our behalf. Praise God. For the events that happened at the time of Esther were not events that transpired at that very time, but were a result of things that have happened hundreds and hundreds of years prior to their experience. And the God who sees all things and knows all things saw that the timing in which the descendants of Agag, the Amalekite king, to act revengefully against the people, his people, the Jews, was at hand. And so he started the process. First of all, to get rid of a queen called Vashti. He did that, got rid of Vashti, and replaced Vashti with Esther. That experience of exchange was an extraordinary one. It was a big switcheroo that God did, and the enemy did not know that God was already on the case. You see, the devil is very limited in his knowledge. He only knows what you offer him. Let me say that again. The devil is very limited in his knowledge. He only appreciates and uses what you offer him. And that will be what you say out of your mouth. But the answer to stopping the enemy from accomplishing his purpose is also accomplished with our mouths. For all spiritual battle, it's a battle of words. All spiritual warfare is a battle of words. When you reduce it to the basest form, you will come to that conclusion. It's a battle of words. Goliath said to David, "Look at you, small little kid. You coming to me to fight me with sticks and stones? What is this? I'm going to feed you to the birds." And David said, "Look at you. You think you're something. Well, you're so big, I can't miss you. And secondly, I'm not just going to feed you to the birds and to the animals, but I'm going to feed all of your people that are standing behind you." He overthrew the words of the enemy with a bigger word. When the enemy comes against you, you need a big mouth. You need to talk him down. How many of you remember a guy called Muhammad Ali? You remember him? What do you think he was doing when he was mouthing off and saying all the things he was saying, trying to get into the head of his enemy? Even though he got them really upset and angry, he already got in there. And when they did not succeed right away in accomplishing what they said they were going to accomplish, and Muhammad Ali was doing his thing, they succumbed to his words. So if he said, "You're going down the third round, you're going down the third round, man. You're going down the third round." Because you see, when he tells you you're going down the third round, you want to get him rid of him in the first round. And you want to get rid of him in the second round. And you've expended all your energy, and in the third round, you're coming down. The big mouth works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you get nothing this evening, get that one. Have a big mouth. The word of God says, open your mouth and I will fill it. You may not know what to say or how to say it, but when you know that this is a spiritual principle to overcome the enemy with a big mouth, you will open your mouth and you will pray and you will declare and you will decree things in a realm that you don't understand in the natural. And that's one of the key principles why you need the speaking in tongues. Amen? Speaking in tongues. The first time I spoke in tongues and God opened my eyes to see what was happening, my mouth was big because I was saying things and the enemy was interpreting, trying to interpret what I was saying by saying, he's saying we are defeated. He's saying we are defeated. I said, well, I didn't know that's what I was saying. But they were defeated. Because right the next door, in the next complex, was a lady that was fully demonized and was activated by the devil to suppress me. But, hallelujah, I had the bigger hand because that one that was practicing witchcraft that was supposed to come suppress me knelt down before me and I cast out every devil in them out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wasn't a month old in faith, but I had the Holy Spirit. I had the power of God in my life. And the first sign that the Holy Spirit manifested itself by, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, their mouths were filled and they began to do what? Speak in tongues. And what happened? Souls were saved. Because the battle is about souls. It's not about you. The enemy may be trying to attack you, but his real assignment is to make certain that you do not accomplish the greater purpose, your true destiny, to be a soul winner. It may attack your finances, attack your health, but the real purpose of the devil is to make sure you don't win souls. That's what he really cares about. Listen, that's the only thing the devil really cares about, that you don't win souls. That's why he attacks your finance. That's why he attacks your health. That's why he attacks your relationships. That's why he attacks your children, your family, whatever it is, for that purpose. And if you back off and stop winning souls to God because of the attacks of the enemy, he has already won. You've given him the victory. But the victory is not his to enjoy. The victory is ours. Amen? Amen? Amen. The victory is whose?
Ours.
It's ours. It does not belong to the devil. Praise the Lord. So we shall be extraordinary men and women that win souls. Experts in bringing the harvest of the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. So it was that the Bible tells us Mordecai told the niece, the adopted daughter, Esther, don't tell anybody that you are a Jew. Don't tell them. Keep that secret to yourself. But when he got upset, the Bible tells us in chapter 3 and verse 4, he got upset because the glory that was due him had passed on to somebody else called Haman. He was the one who exposed the enemy of the king, but somebody else was getting the credit. I'm going to say to somebody right now, that you've been working hard, you've been doing your very best for your company, and you've been expecting another promotion. But the promotion that you were expecting and the position that you were expecting, you have to be true to yourself now. You were expecting to get that position, but that position slipped off and went to another. I want you to know today that the devil's a liar, and the position God has set up for you, you will possess in Jesus' mighty name. In 1 to 2 months from now, your story is about to change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because whoever it is that's trying to occupy your seat is not qualified to take that place, because you are the one God has qualified to take it. And they are going to mess up. They are going to mess up royally. And the one that put them there is going to be very disappointed. And they're going to look around and they're going to say, why did we get this person? We have somebody here that can do this job. Position yourself to get it now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, that is very important. One of the mistakes that we make as believers, and this is a point I want you to get very, very clearly in your spirit today, is this. We think that all we need to do is pray about things. But the word of God is very clear. Faith without works is dead. Now, what I want you to see today is this. Esther is queen. Mordecai is rejoicing about that. He's just lost a position, an honor that was due him. He's upset, and he's not going to bow down to Haman, the Jew hater. And the Bible says in verse 4, now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai matters will stand. For he had told them that he was a what? A Jew. This is what he told the niece not to tell. But when you are angry, you say things that you don't need to say. But God was working it out. God was in this too. And so Mordecai, or rather Haman, recognizing this, it says in verse 5, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. The Bible continues in verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, he goes to King Ahasuerus and says to him, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them or to allow them to stay in this province. If it please the king, he says, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Yesterday I touched a little bit on this particular subject. Here comes Haman. He says, here, this is all kinds of money. And if you were to check on the amount, these are millions of dollars into this account. Hundreds of millions that he's turning over to the king. He says, I'm going, No, not hundreds, about 80 something million. I'm going to give you all this money. And the king turns around and says, you want to take care of my enemies? Here's my ring. Slides it on his finger. And that ring was a blank check. Whatever you want to do, anything you want to buy, whoever it is you want to pay, the bill is on me. Just stamp it with this ring, and the bill is paid for. King, I'm offering to give you. No, king says, no. Since you're interested in what I'm interested in, getting rid of enemies, I will fund you. And that's the promise God is making to every one of us. As I shared with you yesterday, I was struggling with that passage of scripture all these years. When I come and I read it, I say, I don't understand this. It was not until yesterday the Lord made it absolutely clear to me. He said, if you're interested in winning souls, I will fund you. I take on the bill. I will fund whatever it is that needs to be funded. If you're listening to me right now, I want you to hear it loud and clear in your spirit. God is making a covenant statement to all of his sons and his daughters and saying, I am going to take on your battles. Since you're interested in what I'm interested in, I'm going to be interested in everything that you're interested in, especially if it is concerning what I'm interested in. That's an open blank check for us to believe God for extraordinary things for the rest of our lives. As the body of Christ, we need to know that God is making a commitment to us. So it was. He had that commitment, and he started the process. First of all, he wants to get rid of this guy, Mordecai. So he builds gallows. And he gets the documentation according to his decree, but signed with the king's signet ring. He, and this is going to happen twice in this book, he writes out whatever it is that he wants to do, and the king says, bang. This is a different level of relationship. This is not for everybody. It is not everybody that just says whatever and God confirms it. But there comes a place in your relationship with God where whatever it is that you say, God says, I agree. The place where God says, amen, to what you are thinking, because your thinking is connected to his thinking. That's where he started from in the garden, when he brought those animals before Adam. And Adam said, that's an elephant. God said, I agree. Elephant you are. That's a turtle. That's right. That's a turtle. And you know what? We still do that today. If I brought a little doll to one of these little girls right here, right now, they're going to give that doll a name. They may say, this doll, this is Mika. And from that day, the doll is called Mika. Do you understand what I mean? Words, pronouns. And the parents and everybody agrees, that's the name. So it was that a man wrote down what he wanted to do. And the king says, amen. This is what I want to happen to all of these Jews. I'm going to get rid of them all the way from India to Ethiopia, and everywhere I find them, they are going to be wiped out, and I'm empowering everybody to get rid of every Jew they can find. And the king says, amen. And it was a law that could not be reversed. It was the law of the Medes and the Persians. And here it was. So the Jews are in trouble. Mordecai says, oh my, are we ever in trouble? There is a bounty on all of our heads. And he knew that he started this. So he goes to Esther. He sends a message to Esther. Say, Esther, we're in trouble. We need some help. And Esther says, my brother, you know what the situation is. I cannot just show up before the king. If I try to show up before the king without being summoned, I'm dead meat. I can't. So he sends word back and says to her, in verse 13 of chapter 4, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arrive to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whither thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Point I want you to get from this situation is this. Because she is queen, didn't mean she was going to be protected and everybody was going to be protected. Mordecai had to take action. No amount of praying was going to solve this problem, but praying and doing. Praying and doing was going to solve this situation. You know, for years, the word of God prophesied about the return of the Jews. And the Jews kept on praying and praying and praying. Israel is going to be a nation. Israel is going to be a nation. Israel is going to be a nation. And they were praying and they were praying and they were praying. But it took one man called Hesel. Says, we've been praying. Somebody's got to take action. And so he wanted to move the nation of Israel to Uganda. We've got to form a nation. The nation of Israel has to be formed. So they tried to go to Uganda. Uganda would have been Israel now. They said, no, no, no. Let's get back to our real place. And first thing he said to do, he said to speak the Hebrew language, even to his dog. Nobody's going to speak Russian or German or any other language. We're going to speak Hebrew. So action was being taken. Israel did not just come to pass because somebody was praying. It came to pass because people prayed and people took action. And the man who took action was not even a worshiper of God. He could care less about God. But he knew God looked and looked and looked to find a man. He couldn't find somebody in the church, in the synagogue, amongst the religious. He says, I'm going to go look for somebody who doesn't even care about me because it's time for my people to get back. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that God will raise up people that take action in the church. That we don't just sit down and shut our mouths. Can you imagine what's happening in the world? You can take the name of Jesus Christ and just bamboozle it and just trash it and nobody says anything. There's got to be somebody that God raises up in this last days that says, okay, shut up. You're not going to do that to my Jesus. Until somebody stands up, the world will keep on doing what they're doing. But when somebody stands up and says, no, stop, enough is enough. You, I'm dragging you to court. I'm suing you. And he has the money in his pocket. Are you with me? I don't think you're with me yet. I'm talking about practical stuff right now. It's not just about praying. It's about doing. We've got to do both. Amen? Faith without works is what? Dead, being alone. Faith dies. Believing dies. And our sons and our daughters will step away from God if they don't see results. And the way they're going to see results is because God raises up men and women that stand up for something, that use their positions, that use the favor God has placed upon their lives and say, I have favor on my life. I'm going to use it and I'm going to turn things around. I am praying, but I'm going to do something. Both things have to happen. God help us. Hallelujah. So here it was. Him and his building, and they're doing all their stuff. Esther says, okay, I hear you. Gather all the Jews and let them begin to fast and pray for me, because I am going to go there. I'm going to focus on the fact that favor is on my life. I'm going to find favor. It's on me. The king is going to see it. And so she fasted with the rest of them for 3 days, and she stood right where the king could see her. And the king says, come here, baby, come, come, come. And so she comes and she kneels, and he stretches out his scepter and she places her hand on top of it on her knees. She says, what do you want? She says, I'd like to throw a party for you. A party? Well, that's how it all started. The man likes parties. So he goes, she goes for what she knows he likes. If you, listen, child, if you want to have entrance, the gift of a man makes room for him. I'm not talking about bribery. I'm talking about find out what the person likes and bring it. And it opens the door. It is life. Hello? I said, that's life. Says, I want to throw a party for you. Says, when? Says, tomorrow. And I'd like Haman to be there. Why Haman? Haman is the one that's trying to kill them, but Haman is the one that he just promoted and has given the ring to. So Haman is in his good books. He says, I just want a party for you and for Haman. Wow. Wow. Haman, my friend. He doesn't know that Haman is the enemy. Haman, my friend. Wow. Yes, yes, of course, of course, of course. So the party was on. He says, I'll give you half of my kingdom. Anything you want. Anything you want. Says, no, nothing. But tell me, you must want something. Says, yes, I want something. I want to throw another party for tomorrow. Tomorrow. After this one that you've just did? Yes, tomorrow. Another one. Huh. And I'd like Haman to come too. Really? Okay. Haman. I guess we're going to do this tomorrow again. So it was. Haman is happy. She has just accomplished some powerful things. She has already softened Haman. Haman is not going to see this bullet. Haman is not going to see what's going to hit him. She's totally softened him. And he is celebrating all this victory. Look, even the queen likes me. Oh, it's amazing. Oh. And when he gets out, there he sees Mordecai. Ah. He's boiling. He's upset. He goes home, and the next day he comes back very upset. He wants to ask Ahasuerus to do something. He wants Haman and all of them wiped out right away. He's got the gallows set. He wants him hung ahead of the date they have set. He wants Mordecai gone. But praise the Lord. Someone say, praise the Lord. While he is busy upset, God was busy at work. And the man cannot sleep. Ahasuerus cannot sleep. He's pacing all over. He's going back and forth. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And says, someone get me a book. Get me a book. And what do they get him? They get him the book in which it was written that Mordecai had exposed those who planned the coup. And he reads, has anything been done for this guy who exposed these criminals that were plotting to destroy me? They said, no. No. Nothing. And just then, I love it. Haman shows up. Haman shows up, and the king says, is there anybody that I can send to take care of something for me? They said, Haman is here. Oh, send Haman here. Send him here. Send him. So Haman comes in. Haman, if I want to do something really, 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 really special for somebody, what should I do? Do you have any ideas? And Haman thinks, who else but me? Okay, yeah, I got some ideas. Give the person your Rolls Royce. Give them the crown that's on your head. Crown Royal. Put that on their head. And have somebody in front with a megaphone blasting out, this is how you honor, this is how the person who pleases the king should be honored. Have a troop of people, and dances and whatever, and the king says, I like that idea. That's very good. Now, Haman, do this for Mordecai. Huh? Yes, do that for Mordecai. And so he's forced to do that. Now, this is not a stretch of days now. All of this is going to happen in the same one day. One day. Someone say one day. When God wants to get rid of your enemy and exalt you, it happens real quick. Hallelujah. Real quick. You know, when you're reading it, you think this thing happened, and then that happened, and then that happened. No, all of it is happening in the same day. So Mordecai is coming, or rather, Haman is coming to ask for Mordecai to be killed or hung in the gallows. He is disrupted. Now he is broadcasting the honor of the king on Mordecai. And when he comes in, after he finishes that, Mordecai goes back to the gate where he normally is at, and he's so upset, he goes home and he tells his wife what had happened and his friends, and the wife says, ah, if that guy is a Jew and this is happening, his star is rising and you are falling, you finish, man. Your goose is cooked. And while he's still there, pouting about what had just happened, the chamberlains from the king come to him, sent by Esther. He said, hurry up, the party is ready. Okay, the party. So he goes, and while they are there, they're having their dinner and their wine and stuff. King says, Esther, tell me, what do you want? Half of the kingdom, I'm going to give it to you. What do you want? And she says, I just want my life. Your life? Yeah, somebody wants to take my life and wipe out my people. Who on earth is planning on doing such a thing? Kill my wife. Who? He says, it's Haman. Haman. Haman, you're trying to kill my wife and her people? And the king is upset. He walks out. But God is still on the move. He walks out to the garden, and Haman is with Esther, and Esther is on a bed. And when he comes back, Haman is at the bed of Esther. Esther is lying down on the bed, and Haman is, half of his body is on the bed. The king loses it. Haman, you wanted my throne. You want everything I have. Now you want to even mess with my wife? Hey! You are dead meat. Who is here? And somebody came and says, we are here. Get rid of this guy. Oh, sir, Haman has some gallows that he is. Because the gallows are 50 cubits high. Everybody can see it. He said, he's got some gallows. He said, take him there and hang him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a total reversal. When God is working on your case, he is more cunning than the devil. Listen, when God is fighting your case, he takes his time. But when it is time to kill that snake, it is swift. So shall it be against every enemy that stands against you to seek your destruction. The judgment shall be swift. In Jesus' name. Do you receive that word? The word of God says in Psalm 7 and verse 15. Psalm 7 and verse 15. He made a pit and digged it, and is falling into the ditch which he made. Hallelujah. In Psalm 55 and verse 23, the word of God is consistent. For thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm 57 and verse 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are falling themselves. This is a consistent statement from the word of God. That's why you and I need not fret ourselves and worry ourselves about any enemy. When you belong to God and your heartbeat is to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God, I assure you, child of God, the enemy that seeks you shall fail. Amen? They shall fail. Without doubt, they must fail. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 27. Just to give you another verse. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Amen? The one who is rolling the stone, that stone is going to roll back. Hallelujah. You are going to push it to a point, and the stone is going to say, you don't have enough energy. In other words, you don't have enough power to keep on pushing. The enemy that is pushing against you doesn't have enough energy. He doesn't have the anointing of God. The anointing of God is the anointing that will never fail. It will continue to increase, but the anointing of the enemy always backfires. Amen? Whoever, whatever, the enemy has purposed to try to handicap you, you are not the one going to be handicapped. You are the one who's going to go free. It is the enemy that will be destroyed. Yes. Hallelujah. Haman thought he had everything lined up. But God had an agenda. Let me tell you the agenda. When Ahasuerus took the ring off to give it to Haman, it was God set up, because that ring that went into Haman's hand was meant to go into Mordecai's hand. But there was no real logical way to get it from the king's hand to Mordecai's hand, other than that he honored somebody first just to warm the seat, so it can come into Mordecai's hand. Because ultimately, that ring came into the hand of Mordecai. He was not the one who lost. He won at the end. What belonged to him came to him. What belongs to you must come to you. Amen? Amen? The honor that is due you, you shall never be denied of it forever. It must. You will enjoy that honor. You will enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The devil is a liar. He may think that he's doing his thing, and he knows what he's going to do and how he's going to do it and how he's going to maneuver his way, but God is busy laughing. Amen? I said God is busy doing what? Where does God live? In heavenly places. Where else does he live? In you. In you. So do that. Yes. Laugh. Laugh at the enemy. Anytime the enemy thinks he's getting anywhere with you, things are tough, laugh. Do you understand? Laugh. Because you are going to have the last laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a true statement. I have the last laugh. You may be laughing now, but I'm going to have the last laugh. You may think you're getting ahead now, but I'm going to get ahead by getting ahead. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's your head that's coming off. Yes. Glory be to God. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ, yes. You've got to be ruthless with the enemy and not let him get ahead any which way. Relax. And know that God is in you and with you, and that God, who is for you and is not against you, will overcome every enemy on your behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Child of God, I've seen this happen. I've seen it work in my life. Plot. A plot. The plot. The plot. They plot. But they don't know that while they are busy plotting and think they are digging something, a God is getting ready for them. And they dig, 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 and they dig. And all of a sudden, pop, inside the hole. And they cannot come out. They're stuck in their hole. And there's no rope long enough to go reach them. Nothing long enough that they can hold on to. They're stuck in their own mess. Every Haman that has been assigned against your life, for whatever reason, legitimate or illegitimate, I declare in Jesus' name that just like Haman hung, they will hang also. Why does the Bible talk about hanging in Esther? Because the way everybody, most of the people died, or that had been slain by the sword, the key people, the guys that planned the coup, and Haman and his family, every one of them hanged. Why? Because when you hang, you constrict the ability to breathe in and breathe out. You are choked. There's no air, no oxygen, and your brain dies. Everything dies. And what God does, you see, you still look like you, but you're dead. There are people that are hanging and are still walking dead. They hung already, but they don't know it. Life has gone out of them. I'm not staying on this issue too long, because what I'm saying to you right now is this. The devil and his cohorts shall be choked. Whatever it is, just like you take the oxygen out of a place and the flame loses its ability to keep on, so shall God suck out anything that is giving life to the enemy that's come against you. Their flame shall be snuffed. The only thing God needs to do is just take away the conducive atmosphere. And that conducive atmosphere is the failing of favor. The failing of favor. When favor fails in your life, you're finished. All God needs to take away from a person and they are done is to remove favor. And when favor leaves, everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. Which way do you turn? The person who used to allow you to wait till a week or 2 weeks before you pay your rent says, get out. Get out. You can sue me, whatever it is you want to do, get out of my house. They load you and your baggage and dump you outside. You go to work. You think you're going to find a job. The manager fired you. Now you're out of a job. Then the children start getting sick. All the money in your bank account gone. And from the top, you hit bottom and dig a hole for yourself. Have I seen that happen? Yeah. Up there. But because they set themselves against the people of God, God reduces them to nothing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. What we must recognize as God's people in these last days is this, that we are not ordinary people. that God's hand is upon our lives to favor us. But if you don't use your favor, if you don't recognize who you are, the devil is going to push you every which way he wants to push you. Whenever he wants to, and do whatever it is he wants to do, and you will have nothing to say in response. But that's not our story. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now finally, let me look at one more thing, and then I'm going to begin to pray with us. Maybe two things. The Bible says in chapter 7 and verse 10, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. 8 and verse 2, and the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Esther set Mordecai over the house of whom? Haman. Everything that belongs to him is now yours. Wow. Verse 5 says, of chapter 8, he says, and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and this thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see this evil that shall come unto my people, and how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hands upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. Write also as what? It liketh you. In other words, whatever you want to write, whatever you want to write, in the king's name, whatever it is you want to write, in the king's name, whatever you want to write, in the king's name. This is where God really wants to take us to, where we speak in the name and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and God says, amen. God wants to take you and I, the body of Christ, to that place. Please hear this. The people that carried your husband out of here are coming. Sapphira. Down, dead. You, practitioner of evil, be blind. Blind. Are you listening? That is a place of power. I know a man that operated in that grace. His name was Benson Idahosa, Archbishop Benson Idahosa. You're a practitioner of evil. You didn't want to mess around with Benson Idahosa. Actually, he met a guy whose daughter married his son. He used to walk around with him. And he said, I used to think, I became very suspicious because Benson says, you're dead. And he says, the person dies that same day. He said, how do you say you're dead? and the person dies. He said, I thought maybe this guy had some henchmen that were killing people. No, because Benson Idausa did not take any nonsense. If you were against the kingdom of God, Benson Idausa will shut you down. You have the audacity to come against God and his people, you're finished. You, I block your anus. And the person cannot use the bathroom for a whole month. They'll come and beg Benson, please pray for me so that I can go use the washroom. Please, will you please pray for me? Benson, you are free. Then you'll be free. That's the kind of power that caused a whole city, a whole nation, impacted a whole continent and impacted the world when Benson Idausa was moving around. He moved with an authority. When he said something, that was it. That's it. God will say, I stamp it. I agree with you, Benson. Why? Because Benson was a soul winner. Benson went around the world. He didn't need visas. He didn't need no passport. If he wants to come to your country, he's coming. He's flying. He's coming to your country. And when he gets to your country, he's using his authority and the door is open. Benson Idausa will come through. It's not the nonsense that we have today. People shoot their mouth and nothing happens. No, when Benson said something, it happened. Amen? That's dangerous power. And that's power that God is going to release to his church again. Because as we come closer and closer, closer and closer to the end of the age and the end of times, God is going to raise his prophets, just like the two prophets in the book of Revelation that will call down fire, that will change the weather. Amen? Are you listening? So that the world pays attention. We have nothing. All we have right now is big mouths with nothing. That includes me. And I'm saying, it's got to change. It's got to change. Are these people out there, they will not respect the kingdom of God and the people of God. They will keep on saying whatever it is they want to say and curse and abuse and harass because they have not seen the power of God. They have not. But we will experience the power of God again. Because if the world does not come to a place where they bow under their knees, bow on their knees to the Lordship of Jesus Christ because they see that the power of God is well and alive in our age and our time, there'll be no respect. Is it Rodney Dangerfield that said it? No respect? Well, there's going to be respect again. Hallelujah. Amen? There'll be respect again. And I believe God can use us. We've had a little taste of it when we're able to write to the government and say, you don't change, you're fired twice in one day. And it happened exactly just the way we said. That same power is still here. It is still here. It is still very present. God is still alive. He's not dead. He's not dead. Be healed. That's it. That's all that is needed. It's not a long prayer. It's the exercise of the authority of God to change lives, change cities, change nations, change continents. That power must come again. Yes. Amen. Amen? Amen? Jesus died so that power may be realized by his church. We are called to represent him. Yes. Are we not? Yes. So write whatever it is you want to write. And so they did. And they sent it everywhere. Why did they need to write another one? Because the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be reversed. She was asking for something that she did not know could not be changed. Every word that people speak is spoken. And you, the only way you can reverse it is to speak a bigger word. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, Hannah makes a statement that is striking. It says, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My horn, my authority, my power, my influence is exalted in the Lord. Colon. How is it? My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. How? Because I rejoice in thy what? Salvation." You recognize, I am saved. I am not the enemy of God. I am loved. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And you celebrate in that. When you are doing that, and you declaring the goodness of God, it's not about you fighting with somebody and quarreling with them and say, no, that's not me. And I say this over you. No, God says, just rejoice in the salvation. Rejoice in the fact that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. There's nothing that you're going to say that's going to impact my life. I am far above principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wicked. I'm far above. I'm way ahead of you. Way so far, your bullets cannot touch me. I am laughing. You don't need to be quarreling with anybody. Just know who you are, celebrate the goodness of God, and testify of the authority that God has bestowed upon you as his chosen one. So, one thing I do know is that we need authentic power. Live wire. I'm not talking, you know, I remember years ago I was in California, you know, I was ministering to people, I prayed for first person, second person, third person. It looked like there was power. By the time I got to the fifth or sixth person, it looked like there's no more power. I said, "Oh, Lord, what is going on?" He said, "You are operating with battery power." I like it when the Lord speaks to me. He says, you're operating with battery power. He said, "Plug into the real life then." What was my battery power? My battery power was my faith in the fact that I had prayed. It was faith in what I had done. That was my battery power. As long as you're relying on what you have done, help yourself. Plug into me, then it's based on what I have done. Amen? Then my power is going to flow through you all the time, not based on anything that you've done, but all of those things that you did are necessary. The praying and the fasting and the studying, that's all necessary. That's what God has got to certify you. Be a workman approved. Approved. You're certified. You're an electrician now. You can go do your electrical stuff. You're a plumber now. Go do your plumbing stuff. You're a mechanic now. I certified you. GM certification. But you want to do the real stuff, get hooked up to him. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah? Now, Mordecai ran up. When they had written out the documentation, they took out to the streets. And they started getting rid of every enemy. And the Bible says, the fear of the Jews struck deep into the hearts of the people. When a Jew showed up, the people, yes. And if you were not giving respect, you were done. People are going about burning churches. How about the power of God is so present in the church. While they are busy trying to burn the church, the fire turns around and burns them. And nothing in the church gets burned. Then they'll say, ah, what happened there? We poured gasoline to try to burn the church, and we got burned. And nothing got burnt there. And while they are driving, the fire is pursuing them. that'll be a totally different story. Nobody will mess around with churches. No. We've not allowed that. But the Bible concludes, when they did all of that, Mordecai continued to increase in greatness. Amen? Chapter 10, and I'll wrap up. Chapter 10, verse 2. And all the acts of his power, that is meaning Ahasuerus and Mordecai, and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Someone say advanced him. Say again, advanced him. That is what the statement that was used concerning Haman. Do you remember? Haman was advanced. In chapter 3, verse 1, after these things did Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedata the Agagite, and advanced him. And set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Now in chapter 10, Mordecai's advance. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus. And great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking what? The wealth of what? His people. And speaking peace to all his what? Seed. Seeking the wealth of all his people. Ultimate greatness is born not in what you are hoarding for yourself, but how you are trying to help other people fulfill their destiny. May God find every one of us here great. In Jesus' mighty name. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to release the rest of you, but I'm going to pray with you first of all. I'm going to anoint my hands with oil, and I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to release you. We're going to go off offline, and then I'm going to pray for everyone that is here. I want to lay my hands on you and declare that the deliverance of the Lord has come to you, to your family, to every area of your lives in the name of Jesus, and that this advancement and this enlargement that God did accomplish for the people of Israel as he turned the tables against the enemy, that this will be accomplished for every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Tomorrow, we are going to focus on praying about everything that we've talked about today and yesterday, and just processing them in prayers. And I believe that God will honor our prayers, for our true desire is to truly be empowered by him for his greater purposes, in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands towards me. Father, I bless every son and every daughter, everyone that's been listening to my voice. Lord, do for them now extraordinary things. Things that they cannot fathom in their natural minds. Things that exceed their wildest hopes, dreams, and aspirations. Do, O God, great and mighty things. Lord, raise up men and women, O God, of substance in your body, in the church. Lord, O God, the days of counting pennies, Father, O God, is no longer ours. Thank you, Lord, O God, that this nation, Canada, got rid of pennies, of cents. Lord, O God, we want, O God, to be people, O God, that have lots of resources for the purposes of the kingdom. That, O God, in your house, that there's no lack, not in the natural realm and not in the spiritual realm. Meet the needs of your people. Heal their bodies. Cause them, oh God, to be totally driven with a heartbeat and desire to see souls salvaged, redeemed, saved. Oh God, men and women crying out to you, Father, let there be revival, oh God, in your house. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we declare, oh God, that we are wise. Your word says, oh God, that he that winneth souls is wise. So, Father, we say we are wise. And we say so, God, because this day we receive the anointing to be soul winners. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I call you blessed by the authority of the word of God. Amen and amen. Praise God. Love you and good night.